Now, for a look at your news beyond Bridgeport, Melissa in the Morning takes you around the region on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
These are just some quick facts that we got from the Connecticut Department of Transportation recently. Connecticut averaged 43 fatalities on rural roads every year, which represents about 15% of our roadway deaths. Of all the crashes on rural roads, 39% of fatalities are because of speed. And what's interesting is maybe you have noticed already some increased enforcement presence on rural roadways across Connecticut. And I know a lot of you have reached out saying that speeding continues to be a real issue in recent years in Connecticut. So we're going to address why that is. Actually, there's a new traffic enforcement initiative that is in place right now until the end of May. And it's an effort by the Connecticut Department of Transportation, state and local police. And so we have with us the state police right now. We've got Sergeant Christine Jeltema back on WICC for all the details. Thank you so much, Sergeant. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I mean, first of all, let's talk about this initiative. What does it entail?
So it's looking at high-risk rural road enforcement. And essentially what that is looking based on data from all of the traffic fatalities we've had throughout the state, working with DOT and the Yukon crash repository data, looking at those areas that had a high fatality rate across the rural roads. So when we looked at the data, not me personally, but when these agencies together looked at the data and looked to see what one of the contributing factors were for these fatalities, this initiative did come out. It's a federal-funded highway administration grant money for these rural road, high-risk rural road enforcements. So looking at the data, and we were able to get funding to support more traffic enforcement on these rural roads to hopefully decrease fatalities throughout the state.
So, again, this is coming from federal funding. It's from the Federal Highway Administration, and the goal is to improve roadway safety. And now, when you hear rural roadways, which say that five times fast, good Lord, when you say rural roadway, Sergeant Jeltema, this may seem very elementary, but what exactly are we talking about?
So that is considered rural local roads, so not a limited access highway like 91, 95. It's more of the roadways that are throughout the towns and cities within our state. So they're more of the local roads in there. And I believe there's a bunch of or a couple of local law enforcement agencies that have received some of this funding as well within their cities and towns.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is all throughout the state, sort of scattered. Do people know which roads are being patrolled? Does it change? Like, are people, are state police, local police, are they rotating? You know, give us an idea of which roads we need to be aware of, or if there is a way that we would know before we get there.
So it's all dependent. So our traffic services unit has been working very closely with DOT in collecting the data. And our traffic service unit, their main mission is on roadway safety. So they're the ones that are going out. And depending on what their schedule looks like, where the different roads and towns are, my office does not know where they're going to be from day to day. But it is more of the local cities. I know we've discussed like Waterbury, Bridgeport, Hartford, those types of areas and surrounding towns as well.
And again, we have Sergeant Christine Jeltema here with us with the Connecticut State Police. Connecticut State Police collaborating with the Connecticut Department of Transportation as well as local law enforcement. And they are committed to reducing traffic-related incidents and improving overall safety on our rural roadways in Connecticut. And so this high-risk rural road initiative is going on right now until May 30th. And can you give us an idea, Sergeant Jeltema, when this 3-month period is complete, what happens next?
So I believe our this is a main focus right now is this time frame, but I believe our traffic services unit will be out there year round conducting these enforcements, depending on the other initiatives that we have as well. I know our command staff is working with the command staff over at the Department of Transportation. So the next steps is essentially to look at the data, see how helpful it was, to see if it decreased any type of significant incidents, whether serious injury or fatalities, and to look at that data again, and maybe there's now another area we need to focus on, that not that it was neglected, but it wasn't as high risk as the other ones that we were working on. So it's a continuous looking at the data and determining of whether or not we need to have enforcement in certain areas, and if the enforcement is working.
Mm. So when we say enforcement, can you give us an idea when we say we've got, you know, troopers or local law enforcement basically manning these roadways? Are we looking at checkpoints? Are we just talking about speed, radar guns? Like what are we talking about?
Yes, all the above. So our traffic services unit, amongst other troops, have laser guns that laser speed guns that can look at the speed in these areas. A lot of it is just being present out in the area to show that we are out there, so people will slow down. Sometimes when you educate people on what speeding does, stopping somebody who might not be going as fast as we've seen over the hundreds or high rate speeds, but they are driving over the speed limit. So educating them on the significance of speeding, there are laws that are made, and our job is to enforce those laws. And a lot of the traffic laws are made by legislators to help the public, to make sure the public is safe. Especially for speed, especially on the highways when you're looking at how fast people are going and what the impact does if they do find themselves in a motor vehicle accident.
And again, Sergeant Christine Jeltema here with us with Connecticut State Police. This is burned in my brain, Sergeant Jeltema, as I'm sure you can imagine, just working in news for over a decade. Every single summer, AAA comes on this show, or when I worked in television, we would interview them, and they call the summer months the 100 deadliest days on the roadways, mostly because schools are out, kids are driving, you have more people on the roads, people are vacationing, all of that. I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth, but it seems like the timing for this is pretty perfect because we're trying to determine if we can crack down on the issue or determine these dangerous roadways ahead of the 100 deadliest days on the roads. Was that done purposely, do you know?
I wasn't privy to any of the conversations that happened, but we do know the 100 deadliest days are between Memorial Day and Labor Day. So like you said, the summer months. We, as in the state police and working with DOT, have always had these types of initiatives. This high-risk rural road initiative is a little different than that we've seen in the past. And I think now that the funding has come in and looking at the amount of fatalities that our troopers are responding to throughout last year, the year before, and the beginning of this year, it was perfect timing for all of this to happen. In the past, you know, we've really talked about the 100 deadliest days in May, starting in May and ending in Labor Day, looking at the significant holiday enforcements that we've had. However, we've now really are trying to focus on educating the public on what these initiatives are, what we are looking for, and some of the contributing factors that are leading to these fatalities, because it's them as well. It's the public as well that are out on our roadways, and knowing and understanding what their driving behavior can be will help hopefully decrease some of these significant injury and deadly motor vehicle accidents that we're seeing.
We have Sergeant Christine Jeltema with us from Connecticut State Police. And in recent weeks especially, we've been talking about our highways and our roadways. And we had a very in-depth discussion recently with the Connecticut Department of Transportation, Josh Morgan, addressing wrong-way driving, what the state has been doing to tackle this issue. But that led to so many of you reaching out to WICC wanting to address speeding, like Sally, who wrote in about a week ago, why do I feel like I'm competing in a NASCAR race every time I merge onto a Connecticut highway? Or Mark, who said our highways are like a video game and I'm trying to keep up, but I'm scared too. What do you say to that, Sergeant Geltema? When we look at our highways, one of the biggest questions, I'm sure you get it as well here on WICC, is why has it become so dangerous on our highways, especially in recent years? What is happening with our speeding rates?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I know with our leadership, DOT, their leadership, the UConn Data Repository, everybody's working together to try and figure out the why behind that, and trying to figure out the best ways that we can to mitigate that. And, you know, one thing that I really want to touch upon is, as a parent, especially with children that are coming into that age of starting to learn how to drive, to look at driving behaviors, and being a parent and being that person that doesn't speed, that doesn't go on their cell phone, that's not distracted, to obey the laws that are out there and enforce those laws, to be that example for these young children that are getting their driver's license, that are going out on those highways. they're young, these younger kids. We've seen a lot of our fatalities when it comes to speed and wrong way. The majority of them have been younger, in their 20s, early 30s, and it's educating them on the consequences when you are driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, driving at a high rate of speed, so that they can understand what the impact is, not only to themselves, but to their family members. And if there is a fatality of somebody else, what it does to their family. So I think educating these younger kids is a big part of hopefully mitigating some of these high speeds on the roadways. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on, and it's very unfortunate, and we're trying to figure out what that formula is and how to decrease it and mitigate that.
I know I've heard from several voices around the state and officials around this, and it always seems to come back to the pandemic and really bad driving behaviors that were adopted after 2020. But another thing that I know we've kept a close eye on, and State Police has done a great job in keeping us updated on this, is the fact that we are still trying to bolster our state trooper numbers as well. We had a listener last week, Gene, who said, can you ask about the absence of state troopers, and does that play a factor in our speeding rates? But we've been building that up over the last 4 years, correct, Sergeant?
Yes. What I can tell you is that our patrols have not decreased. It does come down to each troop has their minimum staffing for patrol, but our troopers are still patrolling the highways as we used to. However, now it could be our schedule is 5 days on, 3 days off, but now they have to come in on two of their 3 days off, or they're working extra shifts to ensure that those patrols are covered. There's no point that a patrol is not being covered because of the amount of troopers. Our troopers are just working more, getting ordered in more when if there's a patrol that is not being filled, that there's a trooper that has to drop everything. They can't say no. They have to come in to cover that patrol. So I can assure you that our patrols aren't, there are areas that are not going patrolled. They are constantly patrolled. That is our main focus. That is our big mission. And I applaud the men and women that are working out on patrol. They work extremely hard and they're working extreme hours. we are trying to increase our troopers. The more troopers we have, the more that we could add on to those patrols, those minimum patrols that are covering those highways, instead of a trooper possibly covering a long stretch of 84. Maybe now we can have two troopers that are out there, you know, one on Route 9, one on 84 in the Southington, New Britain area. You know, I just use that as an example. We trying to get these troopers in there. We've had an increase of troopers, and I know everybody wants us to have more troopers, but it's getting these individuals that want to come work for us and getting the quality of troopers that we need to ensure that the public is safe and that they can do their job to keep these people safe is another challenge that we're facing.
And I do want to let people know that there is a website if you are interested or you know someone who's interested in becoming a state trooper. It's as simple as beaconnecticuttrooper.com. It's as simple as that. Beaconnecticuttrooper.com to get more information there. And Sergeant Jeltema, just hearing that, I mean, we talk about burnout with so many different sectors of work, but my goodness, looking at 2020 and 2021, when we were, what, 300 or so troopers down in the state, knowing that we were still covering the same amount, but it just meant overtime. It's just wild to think about that. So hopefully we are getting, you know, to a healthier place with our troopers, but certainly something to think about, especially when we talk about taking personal ownership as a driver. When you get behind the wheel and you think it's just about you yourself, that's not the case. Not only should it matter to the other drivers around you, but knowing that the troopers who are trying to man our highways are working probably overtime hours. They're working more days. They're working more hours. They're putting their lives at risk. They're staying away from their families because they're trying to keep our highways safer. So all around, you should be taking personal responsibility as a driver. Don't drink and drive. Don't use drugs behind the wheel. Watch your speeds. Be responsible. All of those things. So definitely very eye-opening to hear that as well. And Sergeant Jeltema, I always want to thank you for making the time to come on WICC. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you to your listeners, too, that are helping spread the word and getting out there that everybody needs to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sergeant Jeltema, thank you again and all Connecticut State Police for what you do. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Yes, thank you.